Okay.
Are we?
It's happening.
Can I hear me? Yeah.
Can I hear me?
I can never tell. Oh, wait, are we recording?
Yes.
Spring has sprung, besties.
It's sprung.
Yes,
it's the friskiest season of the year.
Yes. Oh my God. The girls are out.
They are.
They're horny.
Yes.
Everyone looks so cute in their little spring attire.
Just peopling around.
Oh my God. It's spring.com out there. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Sorry to talk about the weather like fucking flops, but it's just like, it's the first, well, like second, like really beautiful spring day.
Yeah. Even yesterday it was like 70 and just like walking around my neighborhood, I was like, the fuck?
I went for a run yesterday with my tits out. Wow. It was that hot.
There were a lot of tits out yesterday.
I know. It's that weather where people, like don't know how to dress for it.
Oh, yeah.
They're either too layered or not layered enough.
Everyone's holding a jacket or a sweatshirt.
Yeah. And all the couples are holding hands. I hate them.
Just kidding.
It's so cute.
Oh, wait, isn't, I guess like now would be the uncuffing season.
Yeah, this is when you uncuff.
This is when everyone's breaking up. Oh my God, I was working in a cafe yesterday, sitting next to these two girls having lunch. And like the tables were like kind of close-ish together.
Yeah.
Well, one of them mostly was just giving the other one like truly unsound relationship advice.
Love that.
And like the whole time I was like, where is this going to go?
Oh my God.
What is going to happen? And then like the girl who was receiving the advice was listening intently. And then like every pause, she would just go, wow. That's so funny.
That's so funny.
I mean, okay. Why was it like, I don't want to be judgy. Like everybody do what works for you. But like, you know, when some people... when you tell somebody you have an issue or a problem and then the person responds by telling you about their life and they're like, oh, that happened to me and here's what, like, this is what happened, and then they just like go off on this diatribe about like their own shit.
Yeah.
And so that's what happened basically. And then this girl was like, yeah, I was talking with this guy I met on Hinge, but he lives in Philly, and we became like really close. I was like, how close can you be if they live in Philly?
Right.
I guess they just like corresponded a lot and like had phone sex and whatever.
Not corresponding.
Yeah, that's basically what you're doing, girl. Corresponding. Corresponding courtship. And it sounded like they got very emotionally entangled, but like the whole time she wanted more of emotional connection and he was just like, no. So basically at the end of her story, she was like, well, I confronted him and I was like, you don't care about me. And he was like, yeah, you're right. And then I went to Philly and fucked him. And I was like...
Wait.
I was like, hold on. Like, why are you telling the story? What?
He didn't care about her. Yeah. So to prove her point, she went and fucked him.
Yes.
Whoever she is, I like her.
She seemed very pleased with herself. So good. I was like, I don't think this was a detriment to you at all.
I think
you got closure, the whatever quote unquote urban myth of closure you needed.
Yeah.
And then she was like, God, the sex was so bad. And I was like, of course it was bad. He doesn't care about you. Like, what? You crossed state lines for bad sex? Yeah. Like, why?
Never travel for dick. Rule number one.
Rule number one. But here's the punchline is that the advice she was giving to this girl, the girl's issue was not with like a romantic entanglement at all. It was with like a coworker she thought was mad at her. So I was just like, how did this get
Wait. She fucked her coworker?
No.
Oh.
Just like a another woman coworker she thought was mad at her.
Oh.
And I was like, how does this story correlate to this woman's issue?
Yeah. Have you ever fucked a coworker?
No, never have. But every retail job I worked when I was a shop girl, I was sexually harassed by like a male manager, like every single one.
It's not exactly the same road I was going down, but I hate that for you.
But do you remember one who was like such like a caricature of like toxic masculinity? Mm. And I was in the like little break room, like eating like a tuna sandwich or something. And he comes in and like apropos of nothing just goes, have you ever thought about like hooking up with a coworker? Me, full of tuna sandwich, was like, no. And he's like, never. It never came up. And I was like, no. Because he would always complain about his girlfriend to me. And I was like, this is inappropriate.
Right.
Also, just break up with her then.
Right.
Like, why are you doing this?
That's always the answer.
And she would come into the store and yell at him and then leave. It was really funny.
I love that.
I love that.
A drive-by.
Yeah. Like, she would come and be like, and another thing. And then, like, leave. It was so funny.
I'm obsessed with that.
Yeah. But yeah, I was like, bro, it's never going to happen. Yeah. You are repulsive.
Ew. Well, shout out to Philadelphia.
Anyway. Yeah. Shout out to Philly where the guys just don't care about you.
Yeah.
But they'll give you some soggy dick.
I have a Philly story, but I actually think I don't want to tell it on
the record. We have to hear it.
I don't know. It's
okay. Everybody has a Philly story.
They do have a Philly story.
Anyway,
I'll tell you when the mics are off.
Yeah, I got no work done yesterday because I was just like, I need to know how this conversation ends.
I love that.
And then the whole time you kept being like, the way you would coach someone in like giving them professional advice but using spiritual jargon.
Ew. Oh, yeah. Is that what your tweet was about?
Yeah. So she was like, yeah, this was just meant for you. Like, there's no mistakes. You didn't do anything wrong. It's just like, this was the time you needed to be here to learn the thing you learned. And like, that way you can get on your manifestation journey. And I was like, please. What the fuck is she saying?
People need to get the fuck off TikTok.
But truly.
Please.
Truly. And I was like, wow, that really circulated fast.
Right.
All of that stuff.
We love a buzz.
I mean, it's like, it's not all of it's bad. It comes from a good place, but like, it just got icky.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Be in your self-worth. But like, what the fuck does that mean? No one defined it. It's just like live in your self-worth. And I'm like, what is it though?
Can I say something?
What?
Off that same exact tip.
Yeah.
This sounds hateful and I don't mean it to be. Two things. And one of them is derogatory.
Okay.
Every time I hear someone talk about like stepping into their power, I'm like, what does that mean? And what the fuck are you saying? I just feel like people have like started throwing that around. I'm
empowerment,
like,
but, like, what does
do you mean?
Nobody knows.
Also, thing number two, I'm obsessed with men using the phrase gaslighting because none of them know what it means.
Oh my God.
And none of them use it correctly.
Oh my God. Yes. Also, on that tip, any sort of quote unquote woke jargon,
yeah,
or anything that the alt-right would consider woke,
yeah,
men don't know how to use those terms.
At all. I was in a fight with someone one time and he was like, I feel like I'm being gaslit.
Yep.
And I'm like, you're not being gaslit. We're disagreeing.
That's so triggering.
I know.
No, I've definitely had arguments before where it's like, you're gaslighting. I'm like, no, I'm just disagreeing with you.
Right. Right.
That's not how gaslighting works.
Exactly.
Dude.
Like, there's
like, you're denying my reality. I'm like, very clever use of the definition of gaslighting. But again, that's just disagreeing with you. Also, reality, as we've learned, is very subjective.
Exactly.
You know, two truths can exist at once and just, you gotta be able to reconcile that.
That's so real.
I do remember once dating somebody who tried to accuse me of microaggressing them.
Obsessed.
And at the time, it was like when that word was like just becoming a culturally relevant term. So I wasn't like totally on it on what it meant, but I knew it had to do with race, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, gender, and just like stereotypes and stuff like that. And I was like, we were like, I don't even remember what the fuck we were arguing about. He'd pick stupid little fights. But I was like, pointing out your flaws is not microaggressing. Pointing out like the shit you did wrong is not microaggressing.
Right, right, exactly.
And he like, what? He's like, yes, it is.
God.
I'm just like, okay, all right.
We bring the shit on ourselves.
I know, you know. I was like, well, that's not what this argument is about anyway. So why don't we just like ditch the semantics and get to the crux of it.
Right.
Talking but also, to, wow.
Also, wow. Talking to men is mistake number one. Like, and yet.
I agree.
Here we are.
They just,
here you are talking to me.
Yeah, but you're queer, so.
Believe me, that does not absolve me of anything. I've tried.
I've tried. Men.
What was I going to ask you? Oh, I already asked you that. Never mind.
What?
I was going to ask you about the new Charli XCX album because I think you'd enjoy it. But I already told you. Yeah.
I can't get over her, like, Simon Cowell ambitions when she tried to make a girl band for a Netflix show.
I don't even know about that.
I'm sure it's still on Netflix because I think Netflix shows just live there forever.
Yeah.
But she tried to do, like, a making of the band thing with, like, an LA girl group, just, like, picking musicians and then making a band. It was called, the band was called Nasty Cherry, I think.
Okay.
Which already I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't think they're a band anymore because there was like some scandal because like one of the members put like these like white nationalist memes up or something.
Oh God.
And then they were like, we don't know her.
Yeah.
Something, some memery happened.
Sure.
But I also remember like knowing people in the industry who know Charli XCX and being like, this ain't it, girl.
Yeah.
And she was like, stop microaggressing me. No, but I just thought that was interesting from like behind the scenes ish perspective. Yeah. And then I was like, is she cool?
I think she's
or cool. Or does she just want to be famous?
No, I think she doesn't need to be famous, which is what makes her cool because she has so much money from songwriting.
Good for her.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's just like, all this shit is just like, whatever.
Okay.
She's
trying to gaga herself now.
I know.
Yeah.
I love her. I think she's the most like beautiful woman in the world randomly. And I like her so much that I watched an hour-long interview with her with Zane Lowe, who I hate. Like, he's like,
is
you know,
he a Kiwi? Is he from New Zealand?
Yes.
Okay. Because he has an accent.
You know when someone is your nemesis, but they don't know you?
No.
That's him to me.
Okay.
Oh my God. It's one of the, I'm just like, you were interviewing talent. Like, because he's a terrible interviewer because he makes it about himself. Not that I'm great, but it's like, I'm not getting fucking paid by Apple Music to do it. Mm. Like, every interview.
Where did he come from?
My friend actually explained this to me. I think he was a DJ for a really long time. Okay. And then he got picked up by Apple. He's just like, talks about himself the entire time. And I'm like, you are interviewing Lady Gaga. Like, shut the fuck up.
That's annoying.
And he talks over them, talks over women. I'm just like, stop. Ew. Anyway, sorry.
How has nobody pointed that out?
I have no idea.
Of all of the people.
Yeah, it's odd.
They need to like switch up the format in which we interview celebrities. Like, Between Two Ferns, brilliant. Chicken Shop Date, brilliant.
Yes.
What is that called?
Hot Ones.
No. Oh, that is also brilliant. But there is a girl who does Chicken Shop Dates, where she interviews celebrities as they eat chicken at a chicken shop. I think that's like a thing in London, the UK. We just call them like Popeyes.
Yeah. If you could interview one celebrity, who would it be?
Ooh. Oh man, that's a good question. That's so hard.
I don't think I have an answer.
Because it's like, if I really idolize them, I'll be too stupid to like make sense.
Yeah.
Maybe Jeff Goldblum. I feel like he'd be a great conversationalist.
Mm.
I was watching his little Disney show, like The World According to Jeff Goldblum, and he seems like that quirky high school science teacher who's definitely like growing weed in the faculty lounge.
For sure.
Yeah. And just comes to class high. That was my high school science teacher.
Yeah, I was like, this seems very specific.
Yeah. And they're just like, yeah, man, everything's groovy. That's so like, wild. Cool. Now let's talk about molecular structure. And I was like, All right.
That's so funny. Oh my God.
What?
My friend's friend asked to ghostwrite the Britney Spears book.
Wait. Oh, she's not writing it on her own?
Well, I mean, like, no.
Okay, have you read her captions? They're a little...
Okay. Anyway, we have no disrespect to Britney Spears.
Wait, why does she need a ghostwriter?
I think everyone needs a ghostwriter if you're not a writer. You know what I mean? I think it's pretty...
Pam Anderson's writing her own book. My editor is her editor. So she's definitely... I asked her. I was like, yo, what's the tea?
Yeah.
And she's like, no, she's an amazing writer. And she like has all this, like all these archival things that she's written. That. Yeah.
I love her. She's so glam. But they turned it down.
Why?
Because they had to move in with Britney Spears for 3 months. And I'm like, what's the fucking problem? And that apparently they just had a kid. And I was like, it'll be there in 3 months. It's a baby.
True. It is a baby.
It's fine.
I mean, would I want to live with Britney Spears for 3 months?
Yes.
But then it's like, there's no work-life separation.
Good.
I don't know. I'd be very intimidated. I also hate doing profiles because I get really like... intimidated.
I like doing profiles a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
I love talking to people, but then realizing that like not only am I keeping up a conversation and like trying to like get good info, I'm like then I have to figure out how to spin this into content, into like a narrative form, and like it's just like so much.
I love it. I love every second of it though.
Every time I've done a profile, I'll like do the interview, be like, what the fuck did we just go off about? Because you always go off on tangents, you know? And That's then great. I'm like, how can I put this, like what?
That's where the good shit happens, though.
No, it is. It is. It totally is.
When, right when COVID like really hit the first of 30 times, and like no one could do press or promote anything because you couldn't talk to people at IRL. I just had a really lucky summer of like profiling all the girls I was obsessed with, from like, you know, JoJo, Tinashe, Victoria Monet, all of that. It was like, and it just every time I did it, and I've done it before, but that I just felt like I kept like hitting that summer. And I was like, well, the one silver lining of this fucking pandemic is access.
Yeah. I would like to do a cover story one day. Me and too. They're always profiles.
Me too.
Because it's like you get to go to a fancy hotel lunch with them.
Yeah. You just want a lunch.
I do. it always takes place at a restaurant in a hotel, like a fancy hotel, like the Chateau Marmont or like, I don't know, somewhere bougie.
Yeah.
And they're always like coming in after you. And it's like she swanned in wearing no makeup and like this effortless blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
She was so down to earth and she gave me a hug. And I'm like, I want a hug.
I love it. I love every second of it.
I want a hug and I want a stupid expensive salad on someone else's dime.
Right. God.
Even though in the reality is, it's like their publicist is probably also sitting at the table with you.
Right. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Or like the table away.
Yeah. I do. I actually really enjoyed those. I think The Cut used to do them. They would do like going on a date with a, you know, hot, hunky celeb of the moment. I think they did it with like Noah Centineo, Rami Malek, Adam Driver. But they went, they do like fun things. Like they went to Coney Island with Noah Centineo.
Oh, cute.
I was like, that's really cute.
Yeah.
Also, I want to go on a date with like a hunky relevant guy of the moment.
A hunky relevant guy. Listen, I pick one of three and I'd be happy.
That's true.
Please.
Yeah. Pick, it's like that triangle where it's like good looking, intelligent, and like mentally well. Pick two.
For real. Before I moved here, when I was like out here to find my first place, I was at breakfast with my friend and she said like New York is a triangle and you can either have two of the three. You can have a great job, a great apartment, and a great relationship.
Oh wow.
And you can never have all
so
three.
True.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
and I've like never forgotten that.
Wow. That's canon.
I know.
Wow.
Well, I've got a great job and a great apartment. So
yeah. Yeah. I do have a great job and a great, but I don't have any relationship, so. And whose fault is that? Honestly.
The way that you looked at me when you said that, I was like, I don't think it's mine. No, I'm not sure.
It's men's fault. Every time I remember I'm single, I just think, men. Just kidding. I don't really think about men, to be honest.
I do my best.
I guess it'd be cool to have a partner, but also like, it's either on or it's off. I don't know.
What does that mean?
Sorry, I'm like going off in a fugue state. Okay, so I've been on Hinge for like a month now. I've not got on one date because literally no one passes the very, very low bar of being able to hold a conversation.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to put in any more effort than someone is also putting in. You know?
That.
Like if someone's not matching the amount of effort, I'm just like, well, this is a mistake. Like, why would I leave my home, go to a place to meet a strange man? Also, I watched a scary movie where a strange man picks up a girl at a grocery store. Like they do a little cute flirtation. She gives him her number. They go on dates and he's like super charming. And then she's like, he's like, yeah, let's go away for the weekend. And so she goes with away with him for the weekend. And then he drugs her and locks her in a basement. And it turns out he's a cannibal who slices up women and sells their meat to rich men on the internet on the dark web.
I feel like I'm in an elevator and it's like plunging downward and I like can't. I was like, where is
and
this
it like
going?
Legitimately I was like, well, never dating again because I'm gonna get cannibalized.
Well, I mean, that's not always how it goes. I don't
I know,
think
I know I know
I love that.
But then I was like, wow, imagine meeting someone super hot, super charming, super into you, and then they're like, I'm a cannibalist murderer.
I'd be like, well, do you have a good job?
Yeah. Well, he was a plastic surgeon, so yes.
Yeah.
But great. He also had a wife.
Oh. That's where I draw the line.
That's where it all went wrong.
No wives, dude.
It was actually a really good movie, but like super disturbing.
Yeah.
On account of the whole cannibalism thing. But yeah, it's called Fresh on Hulu. Go watch it if you are not squeamish.
It's how it always goes, from dating to cannibalism.
Cannibalism is like having a moment, I feel like, in the past year or two.
Thank you, Armie Hammer.
Right? Yeah. He really popped it off.
I know.
Yeah.
Not here to shame.
Not here to shame. Just, you know, don't eat people, yeah, against their consent.
No.
Mm-mm.
God.
Where did this go?
Truly.
Everywhere.
They listen, these listeners are That's the ones true. Who say they prefer no guests. So this is what you get.
This is what has happened.
Sables and glam. I'm yes. like, I can't decide if I'm hungover or not. And we have a fun episode for you.
We
today.
Have a fun episode.
Yeah, Sable.
Yes.
What do you smell like today?
Yes. First things first, I smell like Dias and Durga Bistro waters.
Fuck. Yeah.
Wait, do you also? No, you can't. You don't smell it because you don't have it.
Yeah. No, I just thought you were going to smell like something else.
Okay. There are so many things I could be smelling
Same.
Like. I have so many. I'm like sitting next to a literal pile, of fragrances that I was sent recently.
Wait, I have one to add.
Oh, boy. It's the snake. Okay.
You're going to like this one.
Okay.
Sorry,
great,
I'm great.
Okay.
What do you smell like today?
Okay. Back to the thing I smell like today, which is Dias and Durga Bistro Waters. Yeah. It's their newest fragrance. They just released it like last week.
Mm-hmm.
It's green. It's very green. And that's like what they'll tell you as well. But It's green in a way. It's supposed to be reminiscent of the restaurant scene in the 90s and early 2000s.
Love.
Relevant to our topic today. And wow. Because it's like that era, the early 2000s. Yes. Yeah.
Sorry.
And how like the scent trends of the moment were aquatic, clean, green, fresh scents. And the way they interpreted it in copy, it sounds like a salad. Because they have very quirky fragrance copy.
Yeah.
But they were like, it's like you're a waiter at this restaurant and you're serving the salad that's like bell peppers and lime water and pea shoots and stuff. Which to me just sounds like a salad. But the actual scent is, I get the bell pepper thing. Because it has that zest of bell pepper. Mm. Not the scent or flavor, but just that zesty texture.
Mm. Wait, can I smell this?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it's super zesty. Oh my God. Super green, obviously, but not in a sharp, grassy way. It's like, there is like a warmth. I don't know. It's like, wow, I'm losing words. It is like a scent interpretation of like a very, very fancy, expensive salad.
Okay.
But in a very good way.
This coffee is kooky.
It is very kooky. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, when I read the notes, I was like, I don't get that necessarily. I also just don't really get that with most fragrances, just because you never know how they're made up. Mm-hmm. But this one's green. It's zesty. It's fresh. It's a little sweet and musky on the dry down, which is nice. Yeah, so it's not like
a little sweet.
Yeah. So it's not completely just like a blast of herbaceousness.
Yeah.
It's got like a, I don't know. It's got like a little bit of a cozy muskiness to it, which I like. I like musk in anything. So yeah. That's me.
You know what kind of smells like? Just smelling it on you.
Yeah.
Morning Chess by Wilhelm, which is like one of my fucking faves. I love that scent. So I'm probably going to like this one too.
I actually immediately was reminiscent of Prescriptive's Calyx, which was also like a really hot perfume in like the late 90s, yeah. Which Clinique bought them and they re-released the scent, but it's like totally different. Because I remember it was my mom's favorite scent and I got her it last year for Christmas and I smelled it and I was like, oh, they totally changed this. They like made it sweet, which I was like, why Clinique, why? But that was meant to be like a green tea scent. And this has some of those qualities like that, the soft powderiness of like matcha or green tea is a little bit in there.
Okay.
But yeah, it's mostly very zesty.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
It is really zesty.
Yeah.
It's nice for spring.
Yeah.
I love that this was like inspired by the service industry. I know.
I think that's so cute. It is really cute.
I love that.
Because like originally they called it like a savory water. And I was like, what the fuck does that mean? Yeah. Yeah. But like with the texture, I was like, oh, I get it now. It's a quirky green, which I like. Because like as much as like green scents, I enjoy them, but I don't really necessarily feel like they're very me.
Yeah.
But I like that they feel very refreshing and clean. And kind of just like, you know, you came from the spa.
Wait, I can't wait to wear that now.
Yeah. But this one is like interest. It has like another layer of like interest on it, which is
cool. It's really good. I love that. You have a sample for me in there, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, word. Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Tynan, what do you smell like today?
So I started the week off being like, not that we need to talk about new scents every episode for this segment. We don't.
There are a lot lately.
Right. Yeah. We talk about old shit all the time, but I was like, I don't have anything new. I don't have anything coming. I'm gonna flop on the show. Like no one's gonna listen to the podcast anymore. And then the end of the week came and I have like literally like 10 new scents.
Yeah, they all just came at once. Like I think like all of these came yesterday,
honestly.
Yeah.
And I'm not wearing any of them.
Okay.
I am wearing Covet by Sarah Jessica Parker. I love this scent for a billion reasons, but I don't own it, or I didn't. And I was at dinner with my...
You pulled a me.
Yeah. Yeah. I was at dinner and I had 4 drinks and bought it on my phone. And, you know, after dinner, I got the fragrance and Fran got COVID. So...
Oh my God.
It all worked out.
oh, poor Fran.
I know. Covet. Where do I even fucking start? My mom wore this and I remember I was really obsessed with the campaign when I was in high school because it was her, this was her second fragrance after Lovely. Mm-hmm. And the image was her like outside of a department store, and she had like broken the glass of one of the windows and taken Covet.
Okay.
And yeah. the tagline was, I had to have it.
Right.
And it was just like shoplifted. So fucking good. And yeah, I loved that. It's like one of my favorite campaigns ever. And my mom got a hold of it and wore it for years and years. And I think like she got it to sort of troll me, but then she was like, wait, this is actually good. So I bought it. And yeah, I mean, like, I've spent my entire life just like trying to become my mom. So I guess it's just like the next step in it, in that long process. And it's funny because like it smells different on me than I remember it smelling on her. But I still really like it and it's still super weird. And I'm only reading the notes because one, that's obviously how I like to contextualize things. But two, because they're weird. At the top is Sicilian lemon, lavender, pellegrino. dark chocolate.
Oh.
And then the middle is lily of the valley, honeysuckle, magnolia. And the base is musk, cashmere wood, teak wood, vetiver, and amber. So it's got citrus, lavender, and chocolate at the top, a ton of white Whoa. Florals in the middle, and your base of amber, musk, and wood standard. And to me, the chocolate note like really hangs on the entire mm-hmm. time, but it doesn't really smell like a gourmand. This smells like chocolate and lily.
Oh.
In a way that is really nice and somehow really works.
Interesting.
And it is sort of like musky too, and like not powdery. Bless you.
Excuse me.
Not powdery, but like soft in a way. And it's just weird, and I really, really like it. I'm so happy that I got drunk and tracked it down. The bottle is beautiful. I mean, the juice is sort of like a light green, and the cap isn't a cap. It's like a halo. So like it like goes around the atomizer, but never covers it. And it looks like a brooch. It's really cool.
Interesting.
The whole thing is just nice.
Okay.
And yeah.
And it's discontinued?
Like we were just talking about, I don't think that they make any of her scents anymore or distribute them anymore, which is funny because it doesn't really shock me about her first scent, Lovely and Covet, because those, I mean, were just like celebrity scents of the time. But we talk about this a lot. Stash was a later release and people were obsessed with it.
Were they?
Do you remember that? Everyone was talking about Stash.
I caught on to it because of you and I think Kara, but other than that, I don't remember hearing a ton about
like
it.
Every beauty editor was like, really? Stash. Yeah, so many people loved it. So many people loved it that they re-released it a few years later because it was like such a hot item.
Yeah.
And the thing is like,
it is a good scent.
It's good.
Yeah.
I don't know that like, what was odd to me, I was like, yes, this is good, but good as opposed to what?
Yeah,
like
it
was
true.
Like really leathery and peppery and forgive me, but masculine. And I think that was the angle.
I think that was like the advent of those gender neutral scents coming into play. The whole like, I feel like it was the era of like boyfriend jeans.
Exactly.
So it's like a boyfriend scent.
Right, right. And I think like, yeah, it was like you think of a woman's scent as what it is, the many things that can mean. And Sarah Jessica Parker, who is, you know, a chameleon in fashion the same way that Rihanna is, like she could bring this to market and have it make sense and sort of be disruptive in that way. So, I mean, I always liked the scent a lot, but I was like, this is just a perfume, girls.
Yeah.
But I think that was
tied to her.
Yeah. Like giving permission for women to like smell more resonant. Masculine.
Yeah, like for better or worse, like her Carrie Bradshaw character like is very definitive of like a certain social group of women who equate certain aesthetics with success of womanhood.
Mm.
And so, yeah, like just like Rihanna, like pretty much anything she says is considered like scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think even it's so funny because you can't ever really separate her from Carrie Bradshaw.
No, you can't.
But Sarah Jessica Parker as a person, I think her style mirrors Carrie's a lot in that she is kooky as well and like will wear whatever and pull it off because she is who she is.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, yeah, like putting Stash out under her makes a lot of sense. Also, if you read The Perfect Scent by Chandler Burr, who will not come on the show, even though we are begging and he keeps saying yes, but not now. I think I'm right in saying that Stash was supposed like that idea was supposed to be the first scent that she made, or that was the scent that she tried to make.
Right, right. And then but they were like, no, it's not commercially viable.
Exactly. It was like too masculine, too dirty.
Which people, is like, no, it's not. But okay, whatever.
Exactly. So probably what was then 10, 11 years later, yeah, she put it out and people went nuts for it.
Well, well, well.
Well, well, well.
You know what? It could have also been like a right time moment situation.
Sure.
Like maybe if she did put it out originally, it would not have, it would have flopped.
You're right.
And then 10 years later, maybe people would have been like, oh my God, remember this? I love it so much.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
So I'm wearing Covet and I love it. It's great. It didn't mean to rhyme home.
Speaking of that era.
Speaking of that era.
Yeah. So
this all started from a text message.
As they all do.
We were texting about two of our friends. What did you say? You said one of them is chaotic neutral and one of them is chaotic evil. No, you said one of them is chaotic good and one of them is chaotic neutral. And I was like, okay, what does that make me?
Yeah.
And
I was like, I feel like you like to purport yourself as like chaotic, but you're actually lawful good.
I do think that's true. Thank you for giving me lawful good. Yes. But I definitely am more lawful.
Yeah. I've taken that test and I think I was chaotic neutral.
I see that. Yeah. That tracks.
Yeah. Because they were like, you don't really care what happens, but you go with it. Mm-hmm. I was like, I guess so.
I think you're right. I am chaotic presenting.
Yeah. But presenting.
But lawful in practice. But then Sable had the great idea of doing the moral alignments of fragrance.
Specifically Y2K fragrances, since that's all anybody's talking about now is like this resurgence of Y2K trends in fashion. And I guess beauty is very closely related to fashion. Well, nostalgic beauty is also like very much a thing now, especially like nostalgia for our era is basically the Y2K time, or for our generation rather. I just wrote a thing for Refinery29 about that. Not published yet, but TBD. But yeah, everyone's kind of like reflecting on Y2K era, the millennium, the Britney Spears of it all. Yes. Like we're revisiting the era and being like, wait, we were actually really mean to her and like giving due. So I was like, that's good. Mm-hmm. Also, it's like, we don't have to do skinny brows again if we don't want to. Like you don't have to go back to a trend and reinterpret it in earnest because like, no, that's not necessary. But you could take the things you like and bring them with you. It's like me and my stupid Lolita Lempicka rampage of
right,
last year.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing makes me feel older than seeing the girlies out here doing the Y2K again.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I was there the first time and it wasn't great. And also, you know me, though. Like, I'm not a nostalgia girl. Like,
I'm not either, really.
We did it once. No. Leave it the fuck alone.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have to, like, don't.
Yeah.
Like, I was there.
Yeah. Also, but, like, if people actually did it in earnest, like, it would not look good now. No.
And I'm not saying I don't like it.
Yeah.
Everyone looks so cute.
Like, but I think, just, like, all the Gen Zs on TikTok, like, they're doing it in a cute way where it's, like, updated, where everybody looks like an e-girl Bratz doll, basically.
Yeah, which I love.
Yeah. But, like, we didn't do that. We didn't do, like, the heart-shaped Cupid lips. You know, like the fake freckles and all that stuff.
It is. You have a point. It's very like Y2K. It's, you can see the progression of the last 20 years of beauty in this like quote unquote Y2K trend, because it is everything that was done before, but evolved through the like heavy glam of the mid 20s.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like the 2015s.
The Instagram makeup aesthetic.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. The Anastasia Beverly Hills of it all.
Oh, yeah.
And then the bare skin thing that's sort of happening right now. It's all that shot through all of these lenses.
Yeah.
So it's like you're seeing all the references that we have already gone through after that.
Yeah.
With the Y2K hat back on it. Does that make any sense? I think it makes
sense. Kind of does. Also, like now that we have like way more awareness and, for lack of a better word, respect for like non-white people, it's like more people can actually participate in these trends now because we have the tools to do it, and you can just do it on you in a way that works for your skin tone. So it's like you don't have to deal with, like, remember when Benefit came out with like some of the first highlighters, I feel, but they were like white.
Yeah,
like I remember having this white highlighter pencil that I shoplifted from Sephora.
God.
I forget what it was called, but it was meant to be like a highlighter, but it was just like this chalky ass white shimmery fat crayon that looked fucking terrible on me because it was made for really pale bitches.
Benefit making products only for white people. Not much has changed.
But
also to your point, like I'm repeating what you just said. The products are so much better now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
like if you want a blue eyeshadow, you can exactly. actually get one exactly. that actually pulls off yeah. and like wears well on any skin tone mm-hmm. and not just looks good in the pan and looks gray in the face.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Praise God.
Yeah. So like we can reinterpret things in a much better, gratifying way now. But people are not exactly talking about the sense of Y2K as much, which were like a big fucking deal.
I think they're starting to, because I did just get a press release about the candies fragrances. LOL.
Oh, okay. I was like, so, yeah. I
was about to call them it.
They're hot on our trail.
Yeah.
They'll never catch us.
But we're here first.
Huh.
So. We're doing the moral alignment of Y2K's sense. Okay, but I think I like misinterpreted the brief though, because we're doing like the first 20 years, right?
I was very loosey goosey with that.
Okay.
So. I think all of mine that came to mind happened to land between 2000 and 2010.
Okay.
But
I'm really happy with mine, yeah. but I think they suck.
Okay.
But like,
wait, what?
Like my picks.
Yeah. You're happy with them, but you think they suck?
Yeah. I don't think they're good.
Okay. I mean, all right. You know what? Let's just get into it.
Should we explain what the moral alignments are?
Okay. Yes. We should.
Lovely yeah. listeners don't know.
Also, like it's funny because the origins of this chart, which applies to so many things, was actually like a Dungeons and Dragons thing.
No.
Yeah, it was like a gamer thing.
Fuck.
Where they would categorize characters based on like intent.
That's so funny. I didn't know.
Yeah,
that.
I know. And then somehow this just got plucked into relevance because you can apply it to a lot of things.
So the moral alignments are a chart of nine.
There's nine.
Categorized by lawful, neutral, and evil. Is that right?
Chaotic. Yeah.
Fuck.
So there's lawful, neutral, chaotic, and then good, neutral, evil.
That's what I mean.
Yes.
So you can be like lawful,
yeah.
good,
yeah.
chaotic, evil, or mm-hmm. anything in between.
Yes.
And it's very funny when people memeify this. I laugh and laugh at everyone,
every
even if I don't understand it, which is usually the case. So we're taking our Y2K sense
yes.
and moralizing them.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's start at lawful good.
Okay. I have DKNY Be Delicious.
Ah, that's on my list too, okay. but not for that
oh,
one.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Yes. I think it's lawful good because this was the scent that all of the good girls wore, like all of the straight A students who were like also like the captain of the soccer team and whatever, teacher's pets, like mm-hmm. I don't know why in my school, again, this is all from our personal experiences, by the way, so if you disagree with us, no you don't,
yeah, if you disagree with us, we don't care,
yeah, don't gaslight us, no. We're not gaslighting you. So yeah, like it's the green apple bottle. It was like super fresh, kind of sporty and like, but like fruity and girly.
Yeah.
So like that's, I feel like all of the, I don't know. It just had like this aura of like, I'm sweet, but good.
And it was fucking cool. The bottle was cool.
The bottle was so cool.
Shout out to apples.
I love apples.
It's so funny. In high school, I, you know, was gay. And I remember just like so deeply wanting to like interact with things like makeup and
yeah,
all this
yeah.
shit, you know, but you know, it was a different time and I did and I didn't, and I was like very, it wasn't, I don't know, yeah, growing up gay, whatever, and like ashamed and all yeah. this, but I always thought Be Delicious was so cool and I always wanted it.
It was cool. Also, I think DKNY was a very cool brand very at cool the brand. Time because it was like edgy and sporty.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
But I was like, I want that, but it's for girls, so I can't. Mm. Now I'm like always smell like a girl. But when they released the one for men, I have never snatched anything up so fast and you couldn't tell me shit.
Was it also a green apple?
Yes, it was, but it wasn't as green. It was like more of a, actually it was kind of ugly. It was sort of a brown green.
Okay.
It was like not
like,
but
olive.
Yeah. Okay. Like a translucent olive. Okay. And I'm sure it smelled the exact same because it smelled green apple. It was great. But I was like,
I feel
I
like they
so
really differentiated with like men's and women's scents.
Yeah.
Like with men, they were just like, let's make it smell like gasoline.
This was, yeah. This was still very fruity though.
Okay. Yeah.
And so was I. Yeah. My chaotic good.
Lawful good.
Is Curious by Britney Spears.
Of course it is.
It was,
see, like I thought of the Britney Spears fragrances too, but I just don't have experience with them, mm-hmm. so I couldn't say, but I totally agree with you.
I mean, it's lawful good. Yeah. It's Britney Spears. Mm-hmm. It is everything that she wanted. She just
that was
wanted
her first.
Mm-hmm.
That was her first.
Just she wanted it to be like vanilla and floral, and it is. And everyone loves That's Curious true, by yeah. Britney Spears. Everyone.
It was a popular pick.
And when you wear it, people know.
Yeah.
And it just makes them happy. Yeah. Britney made people happy, still does. Yeah. And yeah, I just don't think there's anything like better than Curious by Britney Spears.
Was that like in her heyday?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Curious. It was like approaching the heyday.
Yeah.
That was okay. When you knew.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was like,
of course, that would have been the time when they were like, let's do a perfume.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mogul vibes.
Yeah.
Neutral good.
Neutral good. Okay. My neutral good is Tommy Hilfiger, Tommy Girl.
Ah.
Yeah. Because that was also the scent that all the girls like wanted to smell like and wanted to. Actually, a lot of girls I knew had it.
Yeah.
I never had it because my parents were like, you don't fucking need perfume. You're like 12.
Turns out.
Yeah, turns out. But that was like such the every girl scent in my high school growing up. And it was just so, I don't know, like I remember it smelling, again, you know, very like fresh, clean, not overly sweet, not overly citrusy, but like aspirational in the sense that Tommy Hilfiger clothing was aspirational at the time. So that was like the it girl scent.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's such a good one.
Yeah.
My neutral good is Flower Bomb.
Really? Mm-hmm. Whoa.
And
it has the word bomb in it.
I know. But
when was that released?
2005.
Oh, wow.
And
I had no idea it's that old.
Wow. I say it's neutral good she because I find Flower Bomb to be very polarizing.
It is. Yeah.
In a way, not so much that Angel is, but there's... You either,
I think, because when any fragrance gets really, really popular, it becomes polarizing.
Yeah. Well, and you either love it or hate it. Mm. And I love it. I also, my mom wears that and I wear that. And it's just so fucking good. But I don't think there's anything to dislike about it. But my God, people do. Kara Nesvig hates Flower Bomb.
I
think because it is such a like push and pull, it just like falls neutral to me. But it's very good and I love it.
Okay, that's fair. It was very popular.
Yeah,
I think it was like the youthful, sexy girl scent of the time, I feel.
Yeah.
That and Dior, no, Givenchy, Very Irresistible, was also like...
Yes.
The young, sexy girl. I don't know why they have to be young, but that's what the scent said, not me.
Right.
What's next? Chaotic good.
Yes.
Okay, so chaotic good I have is Toka or Taka.
Okay.
Toka. And they had, I think, like, they had a handful. It's like a collection. They were the round bottles.
Yes.
And they were all named after girls.
They all smelled the fucking same.
They all smelled the fucking same. They truly did.
People with, like, loved this
people
brand.
Fucking oh my God. I love them. Again, it was like the Disney princess of it all. There was Colette, Florence, Stella, Giulietta.
I fucking hated
them. They were all kind of Italian for some reason, except for Cleopatra, Bianca, Belle. But they all smelled like kind of like white florals or citrusy florals.
Yes.
But they were just such like a beautiful romantic scent.
Do you think I hated them?
I loved
each
them.
And every one of them.
I loved them because I was a girl.
Send it to hell.
And I felt like this is what pretty girls smell like. And I know clothing brands do this too, where they name products after people.
Sure.
And I feel like people really identify with that. They project a personality onto the scent. So it's like, I'm a Cleopatra. Like, I'm mysterious and alluring.
Sure.
That's me. So I identify with the scent. So I think that also really hit. But I do remember these scents, obsessing with them at Sephora and being like, which one should I put on? Not knowing, because they all kind of smell the same.
That's so funny you say that, because I distinctly remember Sephora pushing these hard.
They push them so hard.
It's not so much the case anymore, because we are in such a different era of beauty. But you know when like the mob at Sephora really loves some, or like wants you to buy something?
Yeah.
It was this brand for a while.
Yep.
Is it Toka or Taka? I have no fucking idea.
I want to say
I also don't care. Toka. Are they still a brand?
They're still the brand. Actually, someone from their PR emailed me recently, and I was like, send it all.
Ew, save it. Keep that shit away from me.
I like it. It's very nostalgic for me.
My chaotic good is DKNY Be Delicious.
Oh, really? Chaotic?
Yeah,
interesting.
I just, like, when the fragrance came out, it was just, like, so fun, so, like, cheeky, and they just had a lot of fun with like apple and like the shape and the scent and the color. And I just thought it was so cool. Up until then, fragrance was so serious, you know what I mean? And this seemed...
It was very playful.
Yeah. And like, it like had a wink to it. And it was something I like really thought was cool and wanted to be a part of. And then like became a part of it.
Again, cool brand. Cool, interesting new scent. Funny shape. It's
orbs.
It's a recipe for success.
Exactly.
Put it in an orb. It's a recipe for success.
You're about to go through your fucking
in the Sable Young School of Economics.
Tune in next month. She has 80 bottles of Be Delicious every flanker.
I mean, who reps DKNY? Send us. Literally. Come on.
What's your oh shit?
Lawful neutral. Is that what we're up to?
I have lawful neutral too, but don't we need lawful good? How do we both skip one?
We did. We started with lawful good.
Oh wait. We did.
Yeah, we did.
Lawful. Oh, it starts at lawful, not good. I'm an idiot. Yes, lawful neutral.
Okay. Lawful neutral. I have gap heaven.
God damn it. Lawful neutral gap heaven. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the gap scents in general, because they were so affordable and accessible and had like enough of a range where everyone could identify personally with one, automatically made them lawful. Mm-hmm. But the neutrality is that heaven was just like the baseline of like, this is what the good smell is.
I love that reasoning. That's so smart.
I don't know why, but heaven was like, to me, like the baseline of all gap scents.
Heaven
like,
slaps though.
Heaven fucking slaps.
Remember our gap fragrance era?
I do.
It was so cute.
I still have them.
I know, same. They're good.
They're fucking good. It's a shame that they only sell them at the fucking outlets.
I know.
Also, it's like, it's a D2C world, baby.
Right.
Slap those shits online.
Especially right now, the nostalgia of it all.
Imagine if they rebranded, like, fuck Yeezy. Don't you don't have to collab with him on your dumbass puffy squeaky jackets. Just like re-release the scents Gap.
I know.
Or umbrella company that owns the Gap, which I believe is the limited.
Right. Isn't Gap like always bankrupt though?
Yeah, I think you're right. Which is nuts because they were so huge. So like huge. What happened? And again, they're under a big umbrella company that owns a bunch of other companies. So like what gives?
Flopping.
You know what's crazy? I don't think maybe American Eagle, and I thought they were with the Gap, but they might not be, but like American Eagle managed to stay afloat with Aerie and shit like that. So I'm like, Gap, what's good?
Did some really smart shit though.
Yeah, they did some shit. And I'm like, you're really boring. You're the poor man's Abercrombie and Fitch. Mm-hmm. So the way you managed to pivot that into a successful athleisure wear line, I applaud you. Yeah. But like the Gap, what's up? What's good?
Figure it out.
Yeah. Also, you're vanity sizing. Yo, you gotta sort that shit out.
Vanity sizing.
Everything is huge there. All the clothing at the Gap is like fucking huge.
Really?
Yeah.
You're tiny.
I'm not that small. Like you're... I'm petite, but like it's hard to even say what size because the sizes are made up. Yeah. They're completely invented. I don't know. I tried to order some jeans from them and I was like, what are you doing? What? Anyway, tangent aside.
My
lawful neutral.
Lawful neutral. You're not going to like this one, but I think it's genius. My lawful neutral is Body by KKW.
What?
Huh?
Wait, when did that come out?
2017.
Okay, that's a stretch.
Okay, bud.
Okay.
So we started saying Y2K scents, but then I was
okay,
like...
Okay, so Body is the one that's shaped like her body?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. That's lawful neutral?
Mm-hmm. Okay,
I disagree.
So let me say, we started saying Y2K scents and we were going to go from 2000 to 2009, but then I was like, I feel like so many of what I'm going to put on my list are like in the mid 2015. Okay. So
well, you can carry that.
We just said all.
And I will carry the front.
Fine. I'm saying lawful neutral is Body by KKW because I don't personally like it at all. It's very floral and very boring, but everyone loves it and I don't know why. I mean, like, I get that people like flowers, yes, and that's what surprises me about it, because it was like,
who are these people?
Not her first launch. I think it was her second big like tentpole launch of KKW fragrance, but I don't know, I was just like, all right, here's a fragrance, and people fuck with it so hard.
Okay. I mean, people fuck with her fragrances in general.
Yeah,
so sure.
Yeah, I just like, and I do, I will say, I mean, you know, I like a lot of her fragrances. I don't like the scent at all, but a lot of people do.
I feel like all of her fragrances kind of smell the same.
Yeah, they're getting there.
Yeah.
But that's my lawful
neutral. Yes. Not even the crystal ones?
I love crystal.
I would have thought the crystal ones.
Crystal Gardenia Oud is so good.
Yeah.
So good.
I would have thought that would have been your lawful.
Fair.
Okay. Body. Wow. Okay. I mean, all right. This is what I signed on with this podcast for. Yes. Okay. True neutral. I don't think anyone will disagree with me.
I think ours are going to be the same.
Really?
Yeah.
J-Lo Glow.
Oh, no. I love that, though.
Okay. J-Lo Glow was the fucking scent of my entire adolescence. Mm-hmm. Every bitch wanted that scent. Sorry, I shouldn't call girl bitches. That's bad. Every girl wanted that scent and had it because I don't think it was like regular department store price range, but like the freshness, it had that sparkling white floralness to it, but also the clean muskiness that kind of married like both worlds of girly as well as like, you know, that neutral like freshness of the era. So it was like, it was giving you like a little bit of, I don't know, losing words again. Again, this is just like my scent memory. I haven't smelled that scent in like 20 years probably, but I just remember it being this like sparkling, exciting, effervescent scent that was also really sexy and feminine and just feeling like so womanly like wearing it.
Yeah.
That was like the shit. Also the bottle with the belly chain on the bottle. Dude,
everything about Glow by J-Lo was so fucking cool.
Even the ad I remember where she's kind of behind the fogged glass.
Yes.
It was so sexy.
The bottle, you're right. The bottle and like the pendant it wore that was like the J-Lo logo. Yeah. Like, and it was like peak J-Lo.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Also, it was like so her
fucking cool.
It might have been her first scent.
Yeah, it was.
I think it was, but it like blew all of the celebrity scents on the market out of the water.
It started the celebrity scent thing.
Yeah.
People didn't do that because people didn't get it.
She like blew the fuck up.
Yeah.
I think it was also, that was her heyday of acting too. Yes. Like she was in all the rom-coms, but like, I feel like that was her star moment of you can launch and sell the shit out of a fragrance.
Actually, I wrote about this for you and I wrote it in New York in the courtyard of Nomo Soho. But
it's so funny.
Yeah. J-Lo, just like, the reason that we have celebrity fragrance in the way that we do right now is because of Glow by J-Lo. What? Because people like didn't understand it. Like, we had White Diamonds by Elizabeth Taylor and all of that, but like Cher tried to put out a scent in the mid-80s and it fucking flopped. People just didn't know how to they didn't get it.
How to engage in stardom.
Yeah, and they didn't understand, like, why is a celebrity selling me a product? Like, this is weird. Yeah. Now it's all we want to fucking do.
Yeah.
But Glow happened and it just went nuts. Yeah. It was Glow, it was Curious, and I want to say those were like the two big ones. I want to throw Mariah Carey in there too, but I don't think that was that. I just think she sold like crazy. Anyway,
I think it has to be a certain type of star. Something about singers really does it. I feel like singers more than actresses.
Yeah, agreed.
I don't know why, but that's just the formula.
Yeah.
But it was also just a really good scent.
Yeah, it was.
It captured very much the vibe of the era.
Yeah,
I think
my true neutral is Santal 33.
Okay, you know what, that's like out of, when was that launched?
2011.
Really? That long ago? Wow.
I know it sucks, but like
I know it sucks.
I mean, like, we know how I feel about the scent itself, but I just feel like it's such a nothing fragrance and it's
such a nothing
so approachable. I smelled it on the way here and I was like, get out of my way.
I do feel like people who never wear fragrance, if you introduce them to Santal 33, they'll be like, oh, maybe fragrance is okay.
That's not a bad point, actually. Yeah. It is very, like,
it's approachable. It's very entry level.
Yeah. Yeah.
You heard that, Lalabo? You're fucking entry level.
What's your lawful evil? Wait. I don't even
know. Chaotic neutral.
Chaotic neutral. Thank you.
Yes. Clinique happy.
What are we on? Chaotic neutral. Yes. I can't keep these straight.
Yes.
Clinique happy.
Again, everyone fucking wore this scent, but it was polarizing.
Okay.
Because it was a very zesty, citrusy scent. Like, it was like very energizing. Mm-hmm. It had all of these stereotypical energizing notes in it, like citrus shit. Mm-hmm. But like, I think I just smelled it on everybody so much. Also, this was a very gift with purchase era. So if your mom got a, like, re-upped your Clinique three-step skincare routine, you got like a travel size of Clinique Happy.
Yeah. They like wouldn't let you leave the mall without it.
No, you go to the mall, you're walking out with Clinique Happy, basically.
Right.
So like every fucking gym locker had a bottle of Clinique Happy and I smelled it everywhere. And at first I was like, this is nice. And then I was like, this fucking scent is everywhere. Yeah. Also, like, weirdly, a lot of the mean girls wore it. So I was like, this belies the truth of your character.
Right.
Don't trust a bitch in Clinique Happy.
Ever.
Also, after a while, it just started to smell like new car smell to me.
Mm.
like, I don't know, something about it just like turned in my brain, and then every time I smelled it, I would just get nauseous. Yeah. It was like, it started out good and you went someplace kind of ugly. But yeah. Anyway, what is your chaotic neutral?
My chaotic neutral is Paris Hilton.
Okay, okay.
People love yeah. this scent. Mm-hmm.
Is it the bottle that's like shaped like a dress on her body?
No, it's a long pink cylinder.
Okay.
With like black squiggles down it.
Okay.
People love Paris Hilton.
They do. They really do.
Like the scent.
The Simple Life.
And I actually hate this scent. It's so florals, and they're yeah. it's like florals that want to beat your ass. It's like caustic white florals that almost smell like cleaner to me. Ooh. Yeah, it's like way yeah. too much, but people go nuts for it.
Okay.
And I interviewed her about this like a couple years, I think, for you.
Okay.
A couple years
ago.
Oh
yeah, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, she was just like, yeah, we didn't expect it to do all this, but like people cannot get enough of like the OG Paris Hilton scent.
Another celeb fragrance.
And it's also one, like Curious more so, but people will recognize it on you. And I'm like, how? It's wow. like the most generic floral you can possibly get, but wow. like everyone wore it in high school.
Yeah, I see that.
I love that for her.
That was her era, the Simple Life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we have Lawful Evil. Axe body spray.
Mine is very similar. Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's really good.
I Lawful think that's Evil self-explanatory.
Yeah.
They imprinted all these boys with toxic masculinity. It was like, spray this shit everywhere and like girls will be all over you. Also, women are just for sex. Yeah. So they're lawfully evil. They knew what they were doing.
Okay. My lawful evil is Fierce.
Oh, okay. That's funny that you say that.
Fierce to me is just evil, so I didn't really know how to like mm-hmm, categorize it mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I'm gonna say lawful because so many people wore it.
Yes,
so
yes,
many men
yes.
wore it.
I agree
and I yes it is an evil scent
yes.
but like they don't know any better.
Those poor boys.
Those poor idiot boys.
Those poor hunky boys.
Yes. What's your neutral evil?
My neutral evil is the Victoria's Secret Dream Angels scents.
Love, 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 love.
Yes, because again, they were all really good scents. It was like that bottle that had like the heart-shaped cap.
Yeah.
It was kind of vaguely hourglass-shaped. And there was like Dream Angels Divine, Dream Angels Heavenly. I think there was Dream Angels, just Angels. Mm-hmm. They were beautiful scents. Mm-hmm. They were like, again, those like sparkling white florals, very sexy powder, but in like a powdery musky way, like very like va-va-voom. Mm-hmm. But I remember the store, the beauty store of Victoria's Secret, not the underwear store, which was like all white marble. I felt like it was like a version of like mall heaven.
Oh.
Where everything was like white and gold.
Yes.
And these were always like the hero products in the center with like white feathery angel wing centerpiece. But yeah. Again, they felt so grown up and sexy to me, but in like an accessible way.
Yeah.
All really lovely scents, but just knowing because it's Victoria's Secret, I was like, it's a little evil.
Yeah.
It's a little evil, but yeah. It's also like, it's also what you make of it because it's just a scent.
Yeah, fair.
But it's just a scent created by like kind of an evil company. So yeah. I miss them. I was also looking at them on eBay.
My God.
Around. Because sure like Victoria's Secret has like a shit ton of fragrances and I think they reinterpreted these scents, sure. But they're not the same.
Yeah, they're beauty category is huge.
It's to this they day. Have so many fragrances which like win lots of awards, but also I'm just like, who is giving the awards?
Right.
That's a little sus to me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they just have a shit ton of fragrances.
Yep.
But these ones, I think, like they updated the bottles, which are like ugly now. So I was like, no, give me.
I think some of the bottles are gorgeous.
Not these specifically. Yeah, yeah. The ones for these are like really ugly now,
yeah.
And like I don't like it.
But they do really good packaging.
Yeah.
They just reached out to me about a scent. I did not have them send it because it sounded, I like I'd hate it. But
think,
the packaging
I think they should
gorgeous.
Re-release these as they were. They yeah. were like such a hot girl scent.
All these fucking free ideas for these brands.
Yeah. It's so easy. You already have it. Just give the people what they want.
Exactly. Give Sable what she wants.
Give me what I want.
My neutral evil is Lucky You for Men.
Oh, fuck. That's so true.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
lucky scents. I totally forgot about those.
I might buy this again, actually.
Those were good scents. Those were
actually, like, Lucky yeah. You for Men is just, like, good.
Yeah. I think I had a little bottle of the women one, the pink one.
Yeah.
It was good.
I always think of this and blue jeans in the same category. Yep. I don't know why. I guess like they were always next to each other in like the drugstore.
I guess Lucky was a jeans brand. So,
but wasn't blue jeans Versace or was... Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Huh.
But it was that like cool everyday perfume kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
This made me feel like such a boy.
I know.
The one time.
Yeah. Ever. The one time. That one time.
Okay. Well, okay. Chaotic Evil.
Chaotic Evil is Abercrombie Fierce.
All right.
Chaotic, all right. Just because they pumped it through the stores. All of the dudes wore it. There was like a regular fragrance version. There was like a body spray version, like an aerosol can for some reason, and deodorant and shit like that. But like all these boys, man, just chaos. And also, the people who worked at the store like had to dance all the time. Ew. I thought that was really weird.
People are really into Abercrombie again, though.
Are they?
Yeah. Like, I've heard from so many people that like, oh no, they're making like good clothes again with like out there. Like, yeah, I don't believe it.
I don't trust those people. Anyone who says that, I immediately...
No, these are like people our age. Don't trust that like them. Are just like adults. I don't get it.
Trust adults our age.
Well, fair. I don't trust no bitch.
Yeah. I was like, no.
I didn't really shop there the first time
around. I never shopped there. They were expensive.
Yeah.
I never thought the style was that. I was like, I don't see myself in these like preppy shits.
Yeah, no.
Everybody in my fucking school had them. But yeah, my mom was just like, this is stupid expensive. Yeah. Like, absolutely not. And then I remember they had a scandal where they released a bunch of like, you know how they did those fake vintage t-shirts?
Yes.
And they had one that was a fake Chinese laundromat.
Oof.
And the tagline on it was,
no,
two Wongs make it white. And there was like a very, very small hubbub at the time because like no one gave a shit about it. No one really gives a shit about Asians now, but like they especially didn't care about Asian issues then. And then there was like a hubbub. I was like, this is fucking racist as shit. Yeah. Like, what are you doing? And so they took it off the shelves after, I guess, enough protest. Mm-hmm. But I was like, oh, this whole brand is predicated on a culture of white supremacy and like the white economic achievement of it all,
right,
of like a certain tax bracket.
Not the white economic achievement of it all.
No, but truly, it's like, think of all the like all these fucking like fake Ivy League kind of look.
Right.
I was like, oh, this is very white culture.
Yeah, bad.
And like Hollister was the counterpoint. I think they're also the same umbrella company, but Hollister championed like the surfer California vibe.
Sluts.
Yeah, like slutty California surfer vibe, which at least was like a little bit more accessible, but still, it was the preppy look. I was like, no, this is never going to be for me.
Yeah, same.
So the scent to me was just like the chaos of that being like, this is cool. Yeah. And I'm like, this is actually really square. Like, this is not cool at all.
For sure, for sure.
But for some reason, it just was in the 2000s.
I feel the exact same way. That's a really good reasoning.
Chaos.
My chaotic evil is Axe chocolate.
Chocolate?
Mm-hmm.
Wait. This is new to me.
It was a scent back then, and I think they still make it today. It was after the first couple Axe launches, like in the Axe heyday, and I don't think that it really like did what they thought it would do, but I think it's still around. It
that is chaotic.
No one wore it, but I was like obsessed with the idea of it.
Yeah, yeah, the idea of it.
And from what I remember, I'm going to see if I can track it down, actually. It like wasn't a bad scent all in all, and I hate all their scents. I remember it being like a little sweet, obviously, and very just musky.
Yeah.
I just thought it was a cool, weird, gross idea. And
it sounds icky.
It wasn't, that's but chocolate. It is. Yeah. Not something that like I want to engage with.
No.
But so that's my chaotic evil, because it feels that's chaotic very, and evil.
It is.
You know?
It truly is.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all we got.
No.
That's all we got.
I mean, there it is.
I mean, I'm sure there's a ton we missed, but again, like I said, this is just our experience.
Yeah, this is, of course, colored by our personal experience with these fragrances, as is this entire podcast. Welcome to Smell You Later.
Welcome to Smell You Later, where we talk about ourselves the whole time, and apparently everybody loves it, so...
I guess.
Yeah. As I'm thinking about my Nina Ricci, Nina apple-shaped perfume now, and I'm like, I couldn't find a place for you in this chart, but I love you. Fruity scents. I think fruity's coming back. I think people are, maybe it's just like a spring thing.
I think people are finally
fruit
letting themselves like sweet scents.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sweet in general. I think
I people also, are yeah, like, I noticed too, like, because for instance, Diaz and Durga calls bistro waters a gourmand. And I'm like,
the fuck?
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
It's a gourmand because you want it to be, but it's definitely not. No. So I think people are really reinterpreting and expanding the definition of gourmand to suit their tastes because they don't like what gourmands generally represent.
Yeah.
Even though I'm just like, no, you have to own it.
Yeah.
Just find a gourmand you like.
Friend of the pod, Devin Abelman, who we're going to lunch with in just a couple minutes here, did a big piece on Kayali Vanilla, which we both stan.
I didn't realize it was such like a sellout bestseller fragrance.
Yeah. She was nice enough to have Sable and I guest in the piece and give some quotes. And a friend of mine DM'd me today and he was like, I went out and got that because of you guys and I'm obsessed with it.
Really?
And I was like, I know that's right. Yeah. Because it is so like unabashed, you know, and so good.
It is.
But it is sweet.
It's sweet, but I feel like there's a depth and darkness
there's
to it.
There's so much depth to it.
That makes it a little bit like mysterious.
Yeah, definitely.
I remember like going to dinner with Devin a couple of weeks ago and she was wearing it and I was smelling her, not creepily, just normally in her presence. And I was just like, what are you wearing? It smells so familiar, but like, I can't put my finger on it. And she's like, it's what I always wear, Kayali Vanilla. And I was like,
it really is.
Because like
one.
Devin's not really a fragrance person, like self-admittedly.
Right.
I think she only wears that or Tom Ford Bitter Peach. Like those are the only two scents I've ever smelled her in.
That's so funny.
Which is really funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just the gourmand of it all. People can't stay away.
Kayali Vanilla.
Kayali Vanilla. One. I'd be interested if they come out with like a... Oh, well, they did come out with the apple one. I haven't smelled that one. It's okay.
It's the only one of them that like... Well, actually, to your point, it's like mad fruity.
Mad fruity. It's, okay, so maybe fruits are going to be a thing now.
It's extremely bright. Dude, it's really good.
It's the season for fruit.
They just do like depth.
What's a
so
weird
well?
Fruit that hasn't been scented yet?
I want a passion fruit fragrance.
Oh, there are passion fruit for scents.
Yeah, but like I want a passion fruit fragrance. You know what I mean?
Okay. I feel like we're going to be seeing... We're going to be... I have no fucking clue what I'm saying. Melon?
Love melon.
Melon and scent.
What did I just... Oh, that was a cocktail, not a fragrance. Yeah. Never mind. Yes,
but
I would
like,
love a melon
the
scent.
The sweet roundness where it's a little softer. It's not as like juicy.
It's like dewy.
Dewy. Yeah. Like a dewy fruit.
Yeah.
Give me that melon scent.
I also want pineapple.
You love pineapple.
I do love pineapple.
God, yeah. Raspberry. Actually, I will say Angel Nova is a very raspberry scent, which is interesting.
Yes.
It's an interesting raspberry. But we got Aedes, Corfu, Kumquat. What's a kumquat?
Not kumquat. I can't believe they had the nerve to name it that.
Kumquat. Please. What is a kumquat? I know what it is, but I don't know what it is.
I don't either.
It's like a little baby lime.
Yeah, I thought it was
a citrus
of some sort.
It's a citrus. And this is, it's very citrusy. It's really nice.
I'm afraid to open the box because it has like, that like boutonniere on it.
Oh, yeah.
I like don't want to ruin it.
It's cute. It's like a very fancy corsage.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we're going to be seeing some fruit.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it.
I'm with it.
I'm with it.
Enough with the fucking sandalwood. Give me some fruit.
Yeah. We all need our fruit.
Exactly.
Eat some fruits and veggies. Okay. I guess this is it. We did it.
We did it.
That was our episode. Hope you enjoyed it. If you didn't,
shut up. Sorry. God. Follow us on Instagram at smugulator.mp3. I am at Titan Buck.
I'm at Sabletooth Tigra. And until next time, we will
smell you later.